Hello and welcome everyone back to the Shiur. This is the eighth class in Sefer HaChinuch in the 613 mitzvot and their meanings in our lives. Today we're going to be talking about the 15th and 16th mitzvot. Shelo lahotzi mebesar haPesach chutza, that one should not remove the flesh of the Pesach offering outside of one's home. As you may recall from going back now already some number of classes, we talked about the idea of achdut, of the coming together of the Jewish people, and its connection to the fact that the mitzvah itself of eating the Korban Pesach has to be done as a group. And we talked about the fact that this idea of getting together as a group and eating together, you know, and having a large banquet-style meal as a large group is also connected to the idea of freedom, of nobility, and so forth and so on. So this mitzvah extends on that as well. And in addition to not just having to eat together as a group, it is necessary that a person not remove any of the flesh of the Pesach offering from the place of meeting where everybody has gotten together to eat their meal. Shneimar, lo tutzi min habayit min habasar achutza. So a person should not remove from their home, from the house, outward. So the logical underpinnings of this mitzvah. So this is connected, like all of the mitzvot that are connected with Pesach, are about the remembering of the miracles that occurred to us in Egypt, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Egypt and bringing us eventually to Eretz Yisrael. So since we, as a result of being taken out of Egypt, were taken from the status of slaves, from the most lowly position on the entire pole of existence, that we were taken from there and we were made into free men and lords. So this is the reason why we eat together as a group, and we don't bring any of this food outside, meaning we don't distribute from our meal into the streets, in other words, or with friends or with anything else, meaning it's for the group itself. And this is the way of the kings. So when it comes time that the kings get together and they eat their meal, so they invite all those that they want to have at the meal, and they partake of all the finest delicacies that are appropriate for that meal. They may have all kinds of different specialized foods, whatever else have you, very expensive wines that will only be opened once for this special meal. Perhaps something that won't be tasted by anyone else. In fact, there's an idea of it being exclusive. So the concept here is to create an exclusivity, something special and different, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. He brought us into that level. So that's the way the kings eat their meal, without letting the entire world partake and find out about this fine special dish that they served. Rather, everybody gets to hear about it and imagine how wonderful it must be. But when it comes to the simple people, to the simple folk, to the peasants, when they go ahead and they prepare a special meal, they want everybody in the world to taste that fantastic apple pie that they have. And everyone should be able to see that they have the best pecan pie in the South. And they distribute it everywhere. Because every time they make something special, it's special for everybody around, and that's what's going to sort of elevate them. But if you are exclusive, and there are other exclusive people out there, so each of these exclusive people have their exclusive meals, and it'll be for them. It is sort of a sense of snobbiness, you might say, but the point is that we are trying to commemorate and to remember that we have been separated out from the Tuma, from the impurities of Egypt, and brought under the wings of the Shekhinah to be a holy people. and to have a special mission in this world. Dini ha-mitzvah, the laws that are connected with this mitzvah, k'gonze, ma dino shel basar, k'shi yotzei chutz, for example, what happens to the flesh if it's actually born out, v'hekev shesicha ha-chabura la-sot, and the various other details that are connected with this mitzvah, these are all found in Gemara Pesachim. This mitzvah is practiced in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Unfortunately, in our state, without the Beit HaMikdash, maybe rebuilt speedily, it does not apply to us, but if it would be, and God willing, soon it will be, again, it will apply to men and to females. So if anybody was to take from this special flesh, and he was to go ahead and bring it outside of the house, he would receive malkut. This is, of course, provided that he does the both parts of the action of taking something out, meaning he has to lift it up in his house, and he has to bring it outside and make it, and again, and then place it outside, and so forth. And this is similarly the case when it comes to the laws of Hotza'ah, of bringing things in and out of the various domains on Shabbat. Now, again, we've talked about before in previous halachot and previous laws that even though a person, for example, could be a bit of a ramai, he could be a bit of a trickster, and let's say he would do something bizarre. For example, let's say he and another person together, that they would hold it and walk in as a couple bringing something out that could have been done by one. Or let's say, for example, that the person would lift it up, and then somebody else from outside would stick a hand in and he would grab it from the person. Or something like, he would create some sort of bizarre situation to subvert the fact that a person would receive malchut, that he would receive lashes. It doesn't mean to say that that person has in fact subverted any sort of notice by God of what he's done wrong. It's just that this person has gone one step beyond being wrong and has entered into the state of being, well, evil. Meaning he's a bit of a trickster now. Meaning he's not only looking to do something wrong, but he's looking to do it b'mezid, lahachis. He's looking to do it with a sense of, impunity, a sense of negativity even towards God. I mean, the fact that he should make such a trick in order to be able to think that he's going to alleviate punishment. In that situation, so a person then, because of course he's working against God, his punishment is no longer in the hands of man, it's not in the hands of the Beit Din, he no longer has the benefit of being able to receive lashes and his sins forgiven, he no longer can stand before a Beit Din which, once pronouncing a rule, once pronouncing a determination, would actually end up in a forgiveness of his sins. Now he stands one-on-one with God. On that note, we're going to see in the next mitzvah, God willing, very soon, about what is it that would bring a person to such a state? What makes a person turn bad? So now we begin the 16th mitzvah, Shalo lishbor etzem min ha-pesach, that one should be cautious not to break any of the bones of the Pesach offering. Now you'd all be together, sitting inside of this chabura, in this gathering together, eating this very special meal. And during this special meal, everyone must be careful in the way they eat. So, the halacha goes like this, Shelo lishbor etzem mikol atzmot ha-pesach. A person must be careful not to break any of the bones of the Pesach, of the offering that is bought from Passover. You shall not break any of its bones. What are the underpinnings of this mitzvah? Just like everything else, the person should, of course, remember the miracles of Egypt. But now, of course, if the Sefer HaChinuch, as he has in all the other situations, he'll get now a little bit more detailed in this particular halakha. Lizkor nisei Mitzrayim, kmo shekatavnu b'chorosot. You read this. Meaning that, to remember, we said the miracles of Mitzrayim. Begam ze geza min hashoresh niskar, She'en kavod l'sarim v'yotzei eretz. So this is very similar in terms of its source from what we've said before, that it's a matter of honor in terms of nobility, meaning that noble people don't eat this way. They don't go ahead and scrape on bones and break them and so forth like dogs. Think for a minute. Anybody that you would find respectful, could you imagine a king gnawing on a nice big piece of bone? Doesn't really fit. So the only people that are going to behave in this manner are people that are poor and ravenous, which is certainly not the image that we're trying to portray on Pesach of being Bnei Chorin, of being free men, of being princes. So therefore, particularly on this day, more than any other, when we are coming to be taken and treasured from all the nations, we're going to be made special. A people that are priests, a holy nation. And therefore, in every year at this exact same time, we have to then, therefore, act in a fashion and be in the state of mind like it was when we came out of Egypt. And because of the deeds, because of the actions, because of the way we behave, this is going to affix into our soul forever to be this way. The Jewish people aren't just holy at the moment that God touches them and brings them out, but they're holy forever. And not just on the day and the anniversary of when God did this miraculous thing for us, but all the time. There are numerous halachot of derech eretz, laws of manners, that you'll find throughout Shas, throughout the Gemara, throughout the Shulchan Aruch, throughout the books of law that we have, that detail us how we're supposed to behave as Jews. And it extends into every part of our life. It's not just a matter of how do we behave ritually, but how do we behave at all times. And so it is when we're at a meal. For example, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we're not supposed to take food and stick it in our mouth and bite a piece off, but rather we take a small piece from the food and we place that in our mouth. That when we're in public settings, that we don't pull out a cloth hanky that's filled with schnat and let the whole world see it, that we use something that's clean and we don't let anybody see what we're doing. Meaning to say that you have to have a certain prim and properness about you, and it's not about being stuck up, it's about being a prince. And this extends, as I said, to every part of our life. A lot of people think about tzniut, they think about modesty, for example, and they only think about modesty from the perspective of what's covered and uncovered. In many ways, that's somewhat the least important part of modesty. Tzniut, from the Torah perspective, goes way beyond that. It's about how you present yourself to each other. In other words, you're not supposed to be a schlump. Not ever. You're a prince, you're a princess, and it applies to men and women equally. It means not to shout out in the middle of crowds. It means to have manners. The Sefer HaChinuch now is going to show us how important it is that we act in a positive fashion, meaning that we act in the way of Torah, Yomam V'Layla, day and night, and that we embrace Pirkei Avot, the ethics of the fathers, and the various moralistic works that exist within the framework of Torah, in order for us to advance ourselves spiritually. To be an embodiment and a fulfillment of being a nation of priests, a holy nation. So it doesn't mean just not showing up to the local Bet Knesset wearing a ball cap. It means not showing up in Publix wearing a ball cap, meaning your local supermarket. It means having a sense of the fact that you are a representative of God on earth. That's a heavy mission.
So listen,
my son, the Sefer HaChinuch says, don't jump on my words and say to me, why does God make all these rules to remember a miracle? Isn't it enough that God just gave us one mitzvah? Why can't we just like eat matzah and that's the end of it? Why is it there's got to be so many other mitzvot connected with remembering coming out of Egypt? Multiple holidays, for that matter. Da ki lo mechokhma tviseni al zeh umachshev az noa yisichal dvarken. He says, jumping like this, taking this approach, is not coming from mature thoughts, but rather naivety. Now, listen, my son, if you'll understand and listen to what I'm going to say to you, and you put your ear to this, I will teach you how to succeed in the Torah and the mitzvot. I'll teach you how the Torah and the mitzvot benefit you. Da. No. Ki adam nifal kfi pulotav libo v'chol machshavotav. Man is inclined to act and to be, meaning to run his entire existence according to the way he has habitually acted, the way he has directed his heart, and according to the thought process that he has affixated within his mind. Tamir achar ma'asav shu'osek behem im tov ve'im ra. Always a person goes after his deeds, whether they be good or bad. Meaning that if a person would spend the whole day playing video games of knocking out the bad guy, shooting him and killing him and playing rip the other guy's throat, take his heart out, stomp on it kind of thing, what kind of person is going to be produced from day and night actions, although be virtual actions, of death and destruction? You're going to get a person who's got that animal jump to him, meaning that this is going to affixate within him. person spends moment after moment of their life watching soap operas, the next thing you know, their life becomes a soap opera. What you do, what you hear, all has an effect. How a person uses a fork and knife at the table is ultimately speaking going to have an effect on a person's whole life. Small actions build up and have an effect. Vafilu rasha gamor bilvavo v'chol yetzem achshavo libo rak rak kol hayom. Even an absolutely evil person, his heart is rotten, and all the desires of his thoughts are evil all day. Im yareruho v'yasim ishtadluto v'isko batmada b'torah u'mitzvot. That if such a person was to awaken within himself, and he would push himself to just do actions, actions, actions. Forget about trying to think about the complexities of the inner workings of Torah, but he was just to make an effort, and he would be constantly osik, he would constantly be dealing with Torah and mitzvot. Even if he wasn't doing it for the sake of heaven, he will immediately be dragged into the side of good, because he has habituated himself to do good. Rabbi Lankri told over to me last week a fantastic statement that he had heard over from someone from his Bet Knesset. He said over like this. He says, a person has to give tzedakah. A person has to give charity, because it takes the greed out of the blood, and then he won't do anything stupid. Here is the makor, here's the source, that by constantly being involved in giving for others, being involved with the tzorchei tzibur, with the needs of the congregation, what's going to happen is that person is not going to act in a foolish fashion, because his entire being is habituated into doing something positive and being giving and caring. And so everything starts with one mitzvah, the smallest mitzvah that it is. Umitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. So that which in the beginning began as a situation where he did things perhaps with some self-serving reasons, ultimately speaking, it's going to be for positive reasons. He's going to make a change in himself by making a change in his habits and his being. These are not just words that are meant to be taken lightly. Oh, that's some good advice. I'll tell you that today they're clinically proven to be the case. Today there's an entire field of psychology that revolves around the idea of modifying oneself by habituating change and making it stick. On a physical level, it's things like biofeedback, where a person works on changing his heart rate based on training through feedback to himself and so forth, meaning he accustoms himself to reduce his heart rate. behavior modification, and so forth and so on. But by constantly going ahead and working on himself on a constant basis, using various different implements and tools and so forth, meaning he habituates himself that, for example, that if he makes a certain sound, that he knows then his heart rate will go down. He's created this force of connection and a habit between his physical situation and some other element to change things. Or on a mental level, neurofeedback, in order to cure and work on various psychological ailments and so forth and so on. And it's all based on the same idea. Through modifying patterns, by changing one's habits and being, he ultimately remakes himself and changes who he is as a being. This is all the more so on the higher levels, the spiritual levels. Small changes on the physical level have small physical changes. Small changes on the spiritual level cascade. They cascade from the physical to the mental and then into the physical, and all things change. One small mitzvah can make a huge difference in the world. That therefore, through the power of deed, through the power of a person's actions, he's going to kill the Yetzirah. Because as a result of these constant repetitions of actions, it's going to turn around and affect his heart. This is the case by everything in our life. If you're a person who finds yourself being angry, you could change it. Do actions of savlanut, of patience. Meaning, act patiently, and all of a sudden, a person will become so ingrained within him to the movement of patient, relaxed response that anger will disappear. Look into yourself, find inside of yourself all those elements of negativity and apply these lessons of being positive, and it all disappears. That's the key. Exercise. But exercise on a spiritual level. Torah aerobics. If I can make one suggestion to anybody, it would be to take any mitzvah in the world and spend day and night for 3 days concentrating on that mitzvah. Whenever you can do it, you do it. Whenever you can't be doing it, you think about how it can be done. And after those 3 days of both physical, mental, and spiritual aerobics around the mitzvah, I guarantee you will see changes in your life. You have a particular yetzahara that's attacking you, a particular desire that's eating at you and leading you in the wrong way. Find the opposite end of the pole. Find the opposite side of that yetzahara, the opposite side of that negative desire. And then jump on that and make that your focus. And the yetzahara will diminish and disappear. You'll kill it with kindness. But just like there is all of this power through action to make a person great and good, it is possible to go the opposite direction and to have one's actions draw him downward. God forbid. Even if the man is righteous, completely so, and his heart is upright, and his whole in his desire of the Torah and the mitzvot, im yasok tamid bedvarim shel dofi, and all of a sudden now he starts finding himself constantly involved in impure matters, kilu tomar, just to say, for example, derech mashal, שהכריחו המלך ומינהו באומנות רע. For example, if a king was to come along and was to force him into some sort of negative behavior that he has to be doing. God forbid somebody should ever be in such a situation. באמת, עם כל עסקו תמיד כל היום באותו אומנות, if this improper occupation is now constantly being forced on him, he is constantly doing it every day, יושול לזמן מן הזמנים מצית כלי ולהיות רשע גמור, as time rolls on he will become evil. Meaning that this constant repetition is going to drown him. If a person finds himself in a situation where there's negativity around him and he's being forced to be part of it, you cannot go ahead and say, well, you know, I have no choice. You have to escape. You have to get away. You can't use the excuse, I'm just a soldier. You have to fight with your life to get out of the situation, because otherwise you will be corrupted by it. Because again, if a person is acting negatively, doing the wrong thing, even if it comes about in a semi-permissible manner, but it's repeated, it will drown him. Ki yadu hadavar v'emet shekol ha'adam nifa kafi pulotav kamo shamanu, because it is a fact that all people act, exist, be, move according to the way they are in fact behaving on a constant basis, as we've already said. V'alken amru chachamim zal, therefore the chachamim have told us of blessed memory this, Ratsa kadosh baruch hu lazakot et Yisrael, lefichach hibar lehem Torah u'mitzvot. God desired to bring merit upon the Jewish people. Therefore, he multiplied upon them the Torah and the mitzvot by creating an entire body of actions for them to be involved in day and night, learning and being and acting, thought processing, emotional processing, physical processing, all revolving around a single mission in the service of God. By increasing this, by creating a constant need for the Jew to be involved in positive things, it results in him being positive, in him being righteous. Day lahatpis behen kol machshavotenu v'liot behem kol asakenu le'etiv lanu b'achritenu. This way to fasten all our thoughts to the Torah. Our entire preoccupation is constantly with the Torah. And so in the end of all matters, we stand to gain the reward of the world to come. כי מתוך הפעולות הטובות אנחנו נפעלים להיות טובים וזוכים לחייו. From good actions, we become virtuous and merit the world to come. ורמזו זל על זה באומרם כל מי שיש לו מזוזה בביתחו וציצית בביגדו ותפילים בראשו מובטח לו שלא יחטא לפי שאלו מצוות תמידיות נפעל בהם תמיד. From here we understand the statement that was made by the Chachamim that anybody that has a mezuzah on the entrance of his home, that he has tzitzit on his clothing and he has tefillin on his head, it is assured that he will never sin. Because these mitzvot that are constantly upon him, they will constantly have a hashpah, they will constantly have an effect on him. Darkness is the absence of light. If your life is not filled with the constant light of Torah, then what's it filled with? Darkness. Everything in your life changes through the simple process of just constantly being osek, constantly dealing with the mitzvot. You're wearing tzitzit? Grab hold of them. Look at them. Think about them the whole day. Make it a point the whole day to do so. You have a mouth? Spend the whole day talking to your Creator. You have children? Constantly remember your mission to raise them to be holy. Imbue everything with the sense of holiness, and so it will be that a person then will be holy. L'chein ata re gam re ma melachtecha v'iskecha. Therefore, look carefully into what you're doing, what's your business, what's your dealings. Ki achrehem timashech v'ata lo timshechem. Because you're going to be drawn after them, they're not going to be drawn after you. When you're looking to find your soulmate, look to find the person that matches what you're looking for in spirituality. Or look for somebody greater than you. But don't imagine that you're going to turn around and change the other person. All things fall to their bottom rung. true, all things can then elevate again. And they will, and they do. All you have to do is apply positive action. But strive always up. And most importantly, never be content. Don't let your imagination draw you into a sense of confidence to think that, well, everything's good. Since I'm whole, everything's good. I believe in God, everything's wonderful. Ma hefsed yeshki. Et aneg the famim b'tanu ge'anashim b'shavakim u'v'rachavot. What's the big loss? What's the harm going to happen to me if occasionally I just enjoy some of the pleasures out there? If I hang around in the markets and the streets and I decide to mosey on out and waste some time. Litlotzetzim aletzim. To frivolously jest and go ahead and be flirtatious. I'm not going to do anything with that person. I'm happily married at home. I'm just flirting. No such thing. You think running around and telling little jokes, being witty at other people's expense is what? Nothing's going to happen. You're all whole. No. These simple things, true, they may not have punishments on the level of korbanot, on the level of sacrifices and being able to be drawn into the courts. Still, halo gam li levav kmohem. Don't lie to yourself and start saying, no, listen, even if I hang out with these people, even if I do these things here and there, no, I'm strong, I'll be able to handle it. Don't fool yourself. Al bini hishamer ibnehem pen delached berishtam rabim shatu mitoch kach kos tam v'ata et nafshecha tatzio. But my son, don't take this action, the Rav Sefer HaChinuch tells us. Don't be caught into the net of all the Lashon Hara and the back and forth and everything else that proceeds. It's a poison, and many have drunk from such poison. All thinking, don't worry, it won't affect me, I'll be okay. Save your life. Be osik tamid, constantly be osik, constantly be dealing with Torah and mitzvot, and go in the derech hayashar, and go in the straight path. Don't think just one little TV show a day is not going to have a problem. One little this, one little that, it's not going to have an effect. Pop in a video of Torah. No. Pop in an audio tape. Jump on the internet. www.teachitumi.com. Plug. Jump there and find a Dvar Torah to listen to. Don't leave an idle time. And worse, don't fill that idle time with things that will draw a person away. V'achar datcha zeh. Now you know this. Ayikshe alecha me'ata ribuy ha-mitzvot be'inyan zechirat nisei Mitzrayim. Now you shouldn't find it hard to understand why there's so many nisim, so many miracles. Sorry, so many remembrances for the miracles of Egypt. Shem amud gadol b'toratenu. Ki birchot asekenu behem nitpa'el el adavar kamo shamanu. Because this is the big pillar of our Torah, that by increasing our dealing with all of these various remembrances of coming out of Egypt, all of them will have that effect on us, as we've just said. Dini ha-mitzvah, the various laws that are connected with this, kugon, shovar yetzeh mimenu afilu achar zman achilato, if a person should break a bone, even after the time that it's permitted to eat from it, v'dinim yesh kazayit basar alav madino, if there's a little bit of flesh on it, what's the law? V'din hasichusim, v'gidim, harachim, shesofon nitkashot v'yeteh pratea, and the various other cartilages and sinews that eventually harden and therefore become breakable. All this is explained in Gemara Psachim, all of this is a chiyuv, an obligation upon us in the times when the Beit HaMikdash, should it be speedily be rebuilt, is there and standing, applying to men and females, and if a person is to transgress and he's to break the bone of a ritually pure Pesach offering, he receives lashes. God willing, it should be that all our good actions stemming from the smallest things, such as good table manners, that all of those have the greatest effect upon us to do the right thing, to run our lives in the straight and narrow. And as every mitzvah brings about another mitzvah, that the smallest should bring about the greatest, that with all that merit, God willing, each and every one of us will bring to the world, that it will quickly be in our days that we see Mashiach Tzidkenu, Rabbi Yemenu.